Welcome to the After Show with Warm 101.3's Tony Infantino, Christy Credit, Nikki Rudd, and from KidsOutAndAbout.com, Deborah Ross, since we're recording on a Friday morning. Hello, one and all. Today is Speak Like Shakespeare Day. Maybe later in the podcast we shall speaketh as Shakespeare. I want to start off with Deborah Ross because she has some interesting. I have some weird news, you know, science news, and I know Deborah Ross has something kind of interesting having to do with science and drinking.
It certainly does. So, you know, our main message to our kids about, you know, lovely alcoholic beverages has always been know what you are drinking, right? That's not like don't drink, but know what you're drinking, because we wanted to sort of demystify this and put our own spin on it so that, you know, alcoholic beverages could be enjoyed responsibly. And so part of this, of course, is that David is a mathematician, and from his Kodak days, he's a fluid dynamics expert. Okay, so he's actually always fascinated with how things pour. And so I think my kids knew what viscosity was like by the time, viscosity by the time they're three, because like David's like pouring the syrup and pouring the orange juice and pouring the milk and pouring the everything. So like it's this.
So what you're saying is your kids never had a chance.
They never had a chance. So true. But so we came across some interesting information the other day about how many bubbles are in a glass of beer. So, of course, what we have to do is, you know, pour out and do this experiment, because, in fact, the American Chemical Society has been ardently investigating this. And so any guesses about how many bubbles are in a glass of beer?
Why is this being investigated?
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you.
Why?
There's no reason, Nikki. Just go with it.
Because the people at the American Chemical Society think that this is an important area of investigation.
Well, I'm going to say, so one glass of beer.
Yes.
I think the amount of bubbles can vary.
Of course it could. And I think the range would be, I don't know, a million to 2 million?
Tony Infantino.
What?
You're good. Yes, because so this is how many bubbles are sort of dissolved in a glass of beer. So the idea is if you can release all of those bubbles, right, how many are there? And there are between 200,000 and 2 million. Dude, you were like right on the money. You know your alcoholic beverages.
And I don't even drink beer.
I feel like I'm in school right now.
I know, really.
Been investigating how hangovers affect people over the course of the lifespan. And really? So this is one of those.
I can tell you how they affect you now that I'm old.
We don't need science to figure that one out.
Yeah, now that I'm older, it really affects me. My husband, he's the same age as I am. Affects him a couple days.
So what did you learn, Deb? Go against established research, Christy, as you do with most things. You are a unique individual because, in general, younger age groups suffer worse hangovers for three reasons that researchers have found. They drink more alcohol in one sitting. They do it in a shorter period of time, and they tend to get more drunk. So there's one for Tony's book, like the investigation of the total obvious.
It's so ridiculous. So did the government spend money? Please tell me I didn't pay for this.
Are you asking more questions?
The government funds most research, Tony.
Are you asking more questions? Christy, you could have been Spicoli, okay? You know, I'm just saying.
Oh, really? Thanks.
Thank you for that.
I just saw something advertised on Facebook. You know how like you're scrolling through and you're like, how did they know I wanted that?
Because you thought it.
Right, because you thought it. Because they are in our brainwaves.
Yes.
Right? So have you guys seen this thing? Stuffed Puffs. They're basically, Stuffed Puffs are delicious.
I want it.
I want it so bad.
I want it now with graham crackers so we can make our own s'mores.
Not invented earlier.
See, there, science in the public interest right there, okay?
Right?
Both, actually, so was the beer thing, okay? So,
the
yes, this is good. This is interesting information.
I don't like marshmallows.
Oh, you're stupid.
I like
I'm
not stupid because I don't like marshmallows.
You're communist.
I don't
What's
like
wrong
marshmallows,
with you?
And I don't like whipped cream, so whenever I get
What about Cool Whip?
Cool Whip's okay with, what is that, pumpkin pie.
No, you got to have real whipped cream.
I just have never liked marshmallows, so I just try to somehow heat the chocolate up without the marshmallow.
Well,
which you can't really do, right?
Yeah. She may be an alien.
Yeah, I think there's something wrong.
I don't think I'm alone. There's people that don't like them in my group.
In your group, of
your
course.
Circle, huh?
Birds of a feather. Yes, you should all stay
together.
Maybe
that's why you're not in my group.
It's fine with me.
Just kidding.
Nikki, you're always invited in my group.
Did anybody see the Mars helicopter fly?
Yes, of course.
Wasn't 40 that cool? seconds of, yeah. of amazingness. Well,
you know, that's how much the Wright brothers flew the first time, 39 seconds or something like that. So, by the way, they named where they flew on Mars, they named it Wright Field, Wright Brothers Field, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah. That's so nice.
And there's a piece, I've told you this before, there's a piece of the Wright Brothers airplane on the helicopter. And there was a piece of the Wright Brothers airplane that Neil Armstrong brought to the moon. So that's so cool that they did that. That is awesome. But yeah, Wright Brothers Field is on Mars, in case you need to go there on vacation sometimes. Okay.
Never know.
Shall we speak of that Shakespeare?
Oh, Tony, all that glitters is not gold.
So I have to give you some rules on how to speak like Shakespeare. Not rules, not specifically rules. Hints on how to do it, because it's very important you learn the correct way here, okay? So, talking like Shakespeare, here are some tips to help you talk like Shakespeare. Let me get to this. Hold on. Okay, I got it here for you. Okay. When wooing ladies, dressing up like a man, because apparently that's what they did, okay? Throw him in the tower, banish his friends, and claim the throne. That's how you get a girl in Shakespeare times, okay? And we don't say it, because it is so pedestrian. We say tis or twill do, okay?
Twill do. Things.
And, of course, the golden rule here, everything ends in E-T-H, okay? He runneth, he trippeth, he falleth, he loveth. So those are easy ways to speak as Shakespeare.
He's stupidest.
Like
you guys have some favorite Shakespeare quotes?
Not at all. You have favorite
Shakespeare quotes?
Yes.
Nikki?
Parting is such sweet sorrow that I shall say goodnight till it be morrow.
Oh, look at you.
Were you in Romeo and Juliet in the play?
I wasn't, but I did do a lot of theater.
Oh, see, there you go. Well, perfect. Deborah, did you do a lot of theater?
I did a lot of playing the cello in the pit while the theater happened.
Yeah, the orchestra.
I did not know this, that you played cello. Wait a minute.
Oh, my God. I am the most mediocre cellist you would ever find. And I am a huge advocate of mediocre cello. And here's what I mean. It is so much better as an adult to have been a mediocre cellist as a child than never to have been a cellist at all, which actually sounds like a Shakespeare quote, doesn't it?
It has
enriched my life so much as an adult. This is partly why I always advocate that parents expose their kids to music and sort of like from the inside out, if absolutely possible. There's a level of understanding and appreciation for the world that I have. And of course, then a level of understanding and appreciation for hot conductors.
Oh, that's where it came from.
There it is.
Mm-hmm. You know who I always feel sorry for?
Who I always feel sorry for are the teachers. When my son was in fourth grade and everybody had to pick an instrument, the teachers that have to listen to the violin being played by fourth graders because they really don't get to hear what it's supposed to sound like their entire career. Okay.
So true.
I feel so terrible for those people that they have to go through that every year. Okay. Every year. And how many of those kids end up actually playing instruments? Only a few, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's a nice introduction, but oh my God.
Oh, yeah. And they all have them do it, and they all try to keep them in it, and it's, yeah.
Hey, is the clarinet any better? That's what my fiancé's son plays.
Any instrument. You are. This is going to be interesting, and I want to hear all about this.
Didn't he do the tuba? Yeah,
Nate would totally do the tuba, of course.
Wow.
He did the tuba.
Yeah.
Now, my kids did a whole lot of different things, but they never got good enough to sound good at almost anything. So they, they dabbled. And as they were dabbling for years, I had to basically clench my teeth and silently say, this is so good for them. This is so good for them.
Yeah.
This is so good for them.
Yeah, I know.
It's just not for my ears at that moment.
My son had to do the upright bass because he was, tall in fourth grade. So they gave him the biggest instrument they could find. So between fourth grade and senior year, we had an upright bass that we had to carry everywhere because he kept playing. Okay, he made all county, band, orchestra, and had to all the way through high school. We had that monster. Luckily, we had a minivan, because otherwise the thing wouldn't. And sometimes we had to put it out the back window when we had a smaller minivan, and it was raining. We have to cover it with something like a raincoat or something to get it to school.
Yes.
Oh man, and it didn't fit in his room because he had so much junk. So left it in the hall. Okay. Oh, just a
very trippable, that bass. Oh. Absolutely. But you know what, Tony, you got the lucky end, right? You actually had musically talented children.
I know,
where
that's
after
the thing.
The first rush, you got to listen to them and it was great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the thing, because both kids can play. I mean, Adam really is the musician. Leslie plays a nice guitar, but Adam can play almost anything. He's ridiculous. I wish I had his talent. He really can play pretty much any instrument you give him. He can make music out of, he can make music out of fruit. I don't know if we got it from him or he bought something. Yes, there's an electronic device that has alligator clips. And you connect yourself to this and a little box, and then you connect the alligator clips to different fruit, and it gives different sounds. And so he was using leaves as symbols, okay, and apples and oranges and even vegetables like peppers and cucumbers, and you tap them with your hand or a pencil or whatever, and it gives the sound of whatever, the different, you know, notes and different sounds, and you could add different sounds to it. You can do things like Ghostbusters, and you can do all sorts of weird stuff. So he's playing fruit the other day. Yeah,
so
it's
I
crazy.
Think that he's secretly a Ross.
Well, that'd be interesting, Deb. I didn't know you then. So who knows? All right, kids, there's the podcast. What do we call it? The After Show. It's at warm1013.com, and we'd like you to share it with your friends on all your socials so we make some new friends and have a great weekend. We'll catch up with you Monday morning on the radio. Goodbye.
Did they say bye back in the day? How did Shakespeare say
Shakespeare,
bye?
Good morrow.
Farewell. Fare thee well.
Farewell. See you on the morrow.
What about the weekend?
I don't think. What is a weekend?
Bye.